and BriggsAuto.com. Get in the game.
Time to play the game.
Hello and welcome to the game. I'm John Kurtz, joined by Tyler Dreiling and Mitch Fortner. We have a resolution. Ladies and gentlemen, Corey Sutton released from K-State, from his scholarship. He will be able to transfer wherever he wants without any penalty as far as having to pay his way. So Corey Sutton winds up winning this battle. We'll discuss it here in the open and throughout the show. You're going to get plenty of that. You can tweet us at the game KMAN if you want to weigh in. You can also call the show, 537-1350, or toll-free, 866-776-1350. NBA Finals started last night. I don't have NBA Finals talk for you, but what I do have is Rodney Magruder at 440. Hear from Rodney after his first year in the NBA. He's close friends with one of the stars playing in the Finals. You'll find out who that is as well. The Scripps National Spelling Bee is over, and I thought for a little comic relief this week. It's been a stressful last 3 days with this Sutton stuff. We'll make the two co-hosts, my two co-hosts of this show, do a spelling bee. I have prepared the words. Tyler and Mitch will go at it in the game spelling bee at 5:25. And you can't be serious at 5:50. You guys excited for that? You ready for the spelling bee?
Yeah.
Mitch.
I'm excited for it.
Mitch, what's your history with spelling bees?
I think I finished seventh. In my grade school spelling bee.
So that doesn't
grade.
Tell me much. How many kids were in your grade school?
60.
Okay.
I'm just telling you right now, I've prepared the words. Being able to spell regular words, thinking of normal traits that would make you good in a spelling bee, throw it out the window. Wild card.
I was never very good with spelling, but I can tell you I did win the Amanda Arnold Elementary School Geography Bee when I was in sixth grade. So we'll see if that gets me anywhere.
All right, well, as has been the case the last 3 days with everything that's happened with the Corey Sutton story, we have a ton that has transpired since the last time we spoke to you yesterday. First things first, we had the Bill Snyder comments from the Capbacker event last night, which just about made me spit out the beverage that I was enjoying on my couch last night when I first heard the audio from KCTV5 that I'm sure most people have heard by now, and we'll play some of it here in just a moment. But we'll start with the most recent development, which was at around 1 o'clock today, 1:30, somewhere around there. Corey Sutton did tweet that he had gotten a release from K-State. A press release followed soon after from K-State's Sports Information Department that not only had the information that he had been granted a release by Gene Taylor, but also an apology from Bill Snyder for the comments about Corey Sutton failing two drug tests last night at the Capbacker event in Kansas City. One more on that in particular in the next segment. That, to me, is a part where Bill Snyder really lost control of this situation, was those comments that he made last night. But what has happened here, and the overarching theme, I think, of this whole story, the moral of the story, is that the little guy won. The little guy being Corey Sutton, the student-athlete that does not have very much power, as we have discussed, does not have very much leverage against their schools, and in a lot of ways gets the short end of the stick in big-time college athletics, especially if you're talking about college football. And at K-State, a football program that generates upwards of $26 million a year, the little guy took him down with a series of tweets that led to all of this. In today's day and age, that is really the only power that a student-athlete can have in situations like these, is using social media to help try and force the issue by winning the court of public opinion, and that is exactly what Corey Sutton did.
That's why it was possible. I mean, the little guy can only win if he's got the biggest weapon, and Corey Sutton had the biggest weapon, and it was the court of public opinion. And once this thing stretched beyond, when we were sitting here on Wednesday and those tweets originally came out, once they started to trickle outside of the K-State media realm and get to the Big 12, and then from the Big 12 to the national thing, That's what allowed this to happen, and regardless of which side you're on, that's just a fact. When you are when you are the little guy, you have got to have a lot of negative backlash toward the other side if you want to get accomplished what you want accomplished, and that's what happened here. And eventually it just became too much for K-State to have to deal with. I mean, there was just too much that they were going to have to answer for, including and especially what Coach Snyder said last night, and that's what led us to the decision today.
Yeah, I mean, no matter which side of it you're on, even if you are starkly supporting K-State and not on Corey Sutton's side of this issue at all, don't care about the difference in power between the student-athlete and the schools in situations like these, you just can't deny that K-State comes out the loser in this situation, this scenario, and Corey Sutton comes out the winner. How much has it really been talked about nationally that Corey Sutton used the phrase slave master to describe Bill Snyder? Not much. Not much. And to me, that just spells out there how much he won by striking while the iron is hot on an issue that will get people riled up in the public and will put people on the side of the student athlete here. That is such a key underrated aspect of this whole battle has been, he's the one that really started it with that inflammatory comment of slave master on Wednesday afternoon, and that is in about paragraph 20 in the articles that you're reading online, which, by the way, front page of ESPN up until about the middle of today, front page of Deadspin, CBS Sports, all over the place. Mike and Mike, the most listened to morning show in sports radio, talked about it this morning. It was all over the place. And they were not talking about the fact that Corey Sutton called Bill Snyder a slave master. They were talking about the fact that Bill Snyder referenced, depending on how you look into it, and we were left speculating, but at least referenced some player failing two drug tests. Mentioned that publicly, which is, it's hard to find a way to really say that that's anything other than a poor move. And that is really what was being talked about, that and the overall big picture here of the power structure and how the student-athletes have really no power and they get stuck in these scenarios. It was not talk about what Corey Sutton tweeted.
And it's really kind of ironic that it worked out this way, because you would have thought that K-State's best chance to win this scenario was to keep things as quiet as possible and try to limit how much Corey Sutton actually said. And then it ends up being on K-State's side, it ends up being Coach Snyder that makes the headline that maybe was the straw that broke the camel's back, or you know, the final tipping of the scale in favor of Corey Sutton. And I think that Gene Taylor probably came to the conclusion, okay, we need to get this resolved and we need to move on. And that was expedited, I think, probably by what Coach Snyder said last night.
Would agree with you. And look, the reason, other than the obvious, that you don't hear coaches go out and say that in public. I mean, it seems very, very rare. No matter if he was talking about Sutton or somebody else, you don't hear that out in the public hardly at all. So I think no matter who it was, it would have really raised an eyebrow. But the fact that it was Bill Snyder as well is another big reason why it was just so staggering to hear that. Because Bill Snyder is a guy who has always been in such total control of controlling the narrative, controlling the way these things go, controlling whether or not his players are getting pats of margarine or actual, you know, containers of it, controlling what side of the plane his team is sitting on so that they can get the shade when they're flying to Japan. Somebody that has been like that for an entire career let something like that slip out that just caused such a backlash right away. And look, I mean, also, Bill Snyder has done more good for my alma mater than just about anybody that's out there. But I could not believe that happened. I think my point in saying that is, I guess, as good as he has been, as much good as he has done, not always infallible, and I do think that was a mistake.
The whole thing has just been fascinating from the beginning. We are just now, for the first time, getting a chance to sit down again, exhale, and try to make sense of all of this. And how long ago did it seem like we were talking on the show about ESPN's list of who the funniest player was on each top 25 team? How long ago does that seem now?
Well, that was literally the day that the Sutton tweets happened.
That was Wednesday's show. We were talking about who the funniest player is on each top 25 team, and it seems like it's been a year since then with all of this happening. It's just fascinating because again, it's not something that we see happen at K-State very often, where Coach Snyder finds himself in the middle of a controversy.
And even still, after all that had happened, until the comments last night, I felt like every step along the way generally made sense. You can understand how it got there. You can understand both sides Corey Sutton comes in. His playing time is not what he thought it would be because K-State more or less recruited over him, just recruited more competition there at wide receiver. That happens. Totally fine with both sides there. Corey Sutton realizes his only move is to go public. That's a move that makes sense. And while somewhat rare, and while he did it in a somewhat brash way, you know, I'm still with everything there. That makes sense. Bill Snyder coming back and saying, hey, we made a commitment to you. And then even the first part of his comments last night saying, all right, look, we've got to protect against losing all of our number twos if they get upset about playing time. Still makes sense. You're still fair to say that. I think it's still fair to say that. Everything still makes sense. It then took that crazy turn. You know, the car just drove off into the ditch with the comments about the drug test, and that's what swung everything around. I still do not fault K-State for the initial denying of the release based on the precedent that you don't want to set. You want to make sure that this doesn't turn into a slippery slope. I'm okay with playing by the rules, essentially, in that scenario. I don't like the way the rules are set up, but K-State was playing by the rules. It's a dog-eat-dog world, and you got to make sure that you're protected. But it's also a dog-eat-dog world for Corey Sutton, and he went to the only move that he really had, and he winds up winning this whole thing. It's a victory for the little guy. Let's head to a break. I tell you what, Rich, I know you're on the line. I want to get to your phone call. If you'll just hang on through the break, we will open up with that. Plus, we'll play the comments from Bill Snyder last night and get into a little bit more of just why it's so jarring that we heard what we heard. You're listening to The Game.